Good morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Wow. What's gotten into Jesus? What can he be thinking? And why the inflammatory word hate? Because Jesus knows that vivid hyperbole is a great way to get our attention. And he certainly does. He really wants us to understand the cost of discipleship and what it might mean to pick up one's cross and follow him. There is a parallel passage to today's gospel in Matthew 10:37 that is perhaps somewhat easier to hear. He who loves father and mother, etc., etc., more than me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. A similar message, to be sure. But paradox is easier to gloss over and ignore than flaming hyperbole. But what's this got to do with Labor Day? Labor Day, a federal holiday created to honor and acknowledge the contributions of American workers to our social and economic well-being. The evolution into being a bookend of summer came later. Let me tell you a story that might help illustrate and integrate both the gospel and the holiday. Several years ago, I attended a conference for career consulting professionals. Richard Bowles, author of What Color Is Your Parachute?, the perennial bestseller on career management, spoke on how he had studied at MIT to be a chemical engineer. After the graduation ceremony, his proud parents were beaming. But he was nervously fiddling with his mortarboard. Mom, Dad, he sputtered, I don't want to be a chemical engineer. What I'd really like to be is an Episcopal priest. He had the entire audience laughing in sympathy as he described his parents' stunned dismay over what they viewed as a forfeiture of a presumed lucrative career and all their tuition money for a life of presumed poverty. Did Bowles hate his father and mother? Of course not. But today's gospel highlights the reality that heeding God's call and being true to ourselves can put us at odds with those we love. If we are to pick up our cross and follow Jesus, sometimes we must also disappoint or hurt those we love. Heeding a calling can be a scary business. It can involve difficult choices. We may need to separate from a life we hold dear for an unknown future to move forward on our path of discipleship. Back to the story. Bowles did become an Episcopal priest, and after serving in New Jersey for several years, was invited to join the staff at Grace Episcopal Cathedral in San Francisco. So he moved himself and his family across country and was just getting settled in when budget cuts eliminated his position. In a fog of anger and anxiety, Spirit spoke to Bowles and reminded him that many of his peers and parishioners were in the same situation. Their contribution to America's social and economic well-being, as they had known it, had ended. An inveterate problem solver, Bowles soon reinvented himself as an investigative reporter, determined to identify and understand the practical skills needed to be effective in the labor market. Sometimes discipleship doesn't come with a paycheck. Sometimes it's just something we have to do. It's still discipleship. Sometimes, like the clay in the potter's hands, we need to remain malleable so we can be reworked into a new vessel, as discipleship may demand. After much research, Bowles self-published his findings into Parachute, which today is regarded by many in the business as the Bible of career management. In an epilogue to the book, he makes many points linking religion and careers. Personally, he came to feel that his vocation as a career counselor, helping others determine their gifts for the job hunt, was even more effective in aiding discernment than any other discipline, including religion. Sometimes picking up our cross and following Jesus leads us down more than one path. Sometimes, in order to find our lives, we must lose it. And in losing our lives for his sake, we find it. In our rite of baptism, we are taught that God establishes an indissoluble bond with each person. God adopts us and makes us sharers in the new life of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins. It dismays me that too often the emphasis of baptism is sin to be forgiven, and it's interpreted in terms of middle-class morality, rather than the separation that occurs when we veer off of God's path. The focus on sin can also obscure the importance of discernment to our baptismal pledge and its role in bringing us closer to God. Listen to baptism's beautiful exhortation. O Lord, grant us an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy in all your works. The parable of the prodigal son can help us understand. We can become separated from God, go off, do our own thing, my will versus thy will. The sin that needs to be forgiven wasn't any specific debauchery of the prodigal. The sin was the separation from the Father. Discernment is about awakening to our true destiny, to the gifts we have been given, and the hard, important work of discerning how we will use those gifts in the service of others. When we lose our lives for his sake, we come home. And like the prodigal son, when we come home, the Father joyfully welcomes us, and our sin, our separation from him, is forgiven. The rite of baptism underscores the importance of discernment to achieve reunion and emphasizes not only our individual missions, but also the mission of the church, to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. If anyone comes to me and does not hate even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whether we are a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker is irrelevant. What matters is, are we heeding our passions, our enthusiasms? Enthusiasm coming from the Greek words entheos, meaning God in us. Carl Sagan, the scientist who popularized astronomy, endured much censure from elitist colleagues. Discipleship can sometimes isolate us or make us a target of ridicule. But Sagan remained eloquent and unapologetic in his conviction and in his mission. If you're in love, he said, you want to tell the world. I saw a posting on Instagram recently that quoted Kevin Harris, a painter, not like Rembrandt, the other kind, a painter for the National Park Service for 35 years. He maintains the exterior of the White House. When people see him on tours, they say, that's the guy that makes the White House white. He loves it. He feels it's really nice to be recognized that way because he says, I like to think of everything I paint as having my signature on it. Sometimes people ask me if I ever get tired of using the same color. Do I ever want to use another color, like red or something? He shakes his head. I just think it's a privilege to be the person who paints the White House white. If you're in love, you want to tell the world. Years ago, as a young single mother and divorcee, I was feeling economically and spiritually desperate when my church offered hope in the form of a weekend retreat called Thank God It's Monday. I jumped at it. The crux of the message was how to find work that aligned with our gifts and talents. It invited us to explore why we were incarnate and what our calling might be. I had no idea. Some people seem to know their vocation from an early age. Many others have more of a struggle. How many times did I throw my head back and say, Dear Lord, just tell me what you want me to do? Silence. I had no alternative but to do the hard work of discernment and to trust in the slow work of God. Eventually, I did arrive at a career where I wanted to shout, Thank God it's Monday, which is really just another way of saying the opening verse of our psalm today, 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thank God it's Monday. Like Bowles, it required that I lose my job. It's another way Jesus gets our attention. To find my vocation, which also turned out to be career consulting. And if you knew my employment history, you would appreciate the exquisite irony of that outcome. I could not have aspired to such a calling as I didn't even know it existed until the last time I lost my job and was offered career transition services. But in retrospect, I could see how every twist and turn in the road was preparing me and leading me home. Spirit has since moved me along the path to other pursuits, but like Bowles, I found career consulting, helping others find their gifts and determining how to use them in the service of others, to be as close to God's work in the world as any I have ever known. Let's take one more look at Bowles' story. Trained in engineering, he became a priest, who transferred across the country and lost his job. He became an unpaid investigative reporter, who became an author when he self-published his findings into a book, which jettisoned him into a new career of career consulting. Ultimately, the book, What Color Is Your Parachute, which continues to be a bestseller today, evolved into a business which not only includes the book, but also related products and services. All this has turned Bowles into a mega entrepreneur, overseeing an enterprise that I'm guessing, I don't know, it's conjecture, but I'm guessing far exceeds the spiritual and material rewards his parents hoped would be his by pursuing a different path. But that's not how spirit works. The original meaning of the word career was a vehicular road or path. Our careers, our labors, are often filled with twists, turns, bumps, and forks in the road. But ultimately, they are the unique path of our journey home and the unfolding of our baptismal covenant. In the Trinity Solbury Facebook chat this week, Reverend Rick also focused on Labor Day, and he concluded his message by reading the prayer for Labor Day from our Book of Common Prayer. I will do the same. Almighty God, you have so linked our lives with one another that all we do, for good or ill, affects all other lives. So guide us in the work we do, that we may not do it for self alone, but for the common good. And as we seek a proper return for our own labor, make us mindful of the rightful aspirations of other workers and arouse our concern for those who are out of work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I wish you a happy Labor Day and a bon voyage. Amen.